This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and an incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it's the best way to get to really know the guests. So don't say anything stupid, Josh, that we were just talking about. But this week's guest
is silent because I didn't want to come back with a dumb comment.
Perfect. So this week's guest is Josh Crosby, who I recently met in the event in Boston and was very intrigued with what he's doing. So I'll tell you a little bit about his background and I'll have him elaborate on what he's currently doing right now to help athletes get both athletes and business people to get to the next level. So Josh's background, Josh Crosby is a former professional ultra endurance athlete, Ironman world champion competitor, world champion rower. Currently, he's a coach, fitness consultant, race director, and brings an elite caliber athletic pedigree to his work as a coach and co-creator of rowing-based fitness programs, IndoRow and Shockwave, both of which can be found in hundreds of clubs worldwide with partners such as Equinox and Fitness First. Crosby worked with Water Rower to design the world's most authentic rowing machine, and we'll jump into that, using water as its resistance. But it's an unreal workout experience. And Josh is also Orange Theory's fitness indoor rowing consultant and has been the face of athletic inspiration and a product tester for K-Swiss, Gatorade, Zoots, Nike, not Zoot sneakers or Zoot equipment, not Zoots the cleaners, New Balance, ASIC, and Adidas. He's also been interviewed on the Today Show, CNN, Outdoor Life, Fox News, and Fit TV. And motivation, encouragement, variety, and a little tough love are key components to his formula, which has brought results to thousands of shapes, sizes, and abilities. Whether you're just getting back into shape or looking to get faster in your next race, Josh is the guy who can help take you to that next level. And throughout his time, too, he also really saw that recovery is a key to it, stretching, and just recently started a new company in Boston called The Body Squad. So Josh, welcome aboard. Tell us a little bit about yourself and we can jump into The Body Squad.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be talking to you and it was great to meet you the other night. And that was such an awesome event where, you know, we got together with a bunch of collegiate athletes and those who went on to bigger things after that even. So it was really neat to hear people that are kind of similar mindset doing some very interesting things with business as well. So it was a perfect networking event that definitely did not feel like a networking event to me. So thanks for having me because it was you were one of the highlights of those who I met there.
Perfect. No, it was great to meet and you never know where these things can go. And believe me, I love, you know, with this Executive Athletes podcast, really sharing the stories of individuals. So you were a rower in college, correct?
Yeah, I started kind of interesting story with how I started. My grandpa and my dad rowed recreationally. They were in the first head of the Charles ever back in, I think, 1965. And they were one of 30 athletes or rowers out there. And now there's, you know, 10,000 athletes at the head of the Charles, and it's been going for about 50 years. So they got me in a boat early on the Charles River and just for kind of fun. And then when I went away to boarding school in New Hampshire, St. Paul's School, that's where I really got the rowing bug. Even before I hit the water, the dry land training was enough to hook me with all the camaraderie that was going on. And then I rode for the junior national team and was fortunate enough to win the junior world championships. So that set me up nicely for collegiate rowing and rode at Brown University for 4 years and then on to the U.S. national lightweight team for 4 years.
Wow, that's an amazing run. And what was it like to row at that level?
Painful.
The love of pain, right?
Probably the number one thing that comes back. You know, it's super fun. The thing I take from rowing, and you know, I'm fortunate enough to be super close with probably 12 of my 20 freshman rowing rowers on the Brown crew team. still to this day. So yeah, what I love most about it was the camaraderie and the bonding and the all in, all for one goal mentality that just fired me up. And I carry it on daily in what I'm doing with business and with family, and pretty annoyingly to my kids. I'm always talking about teamwork and taking the pain. And they're, by the way, 9 and 10. So it's pretty funny when they say, "Daddy, stop talking about stepping into the pain cave. I get it." So, yeah, rowing was a magical experience.
No, my kids do the same thing. I think they just ignore me because they think I'm crazy anyway. So they don't even consider doing any of that stuff. I think they just look the other way as well. It's a funny story. But you mentioned, you know, dry land, right? And that's one thing.
Yeah.
When I was ski racing in college, I really became, you know, bike racing. I used that originally as dry land and fell in love with actually the whole training aspect just as much as the sport itself. Talk to us a bit about that you fell in love with the dryland part of it.
Well, I think I just fell in love with the challenge of it. And I really, obviously, you can probably tell from my background, I like pushing myself just like you do and seeing how hard you can go or how far you can go or how long. And the coach, probably the most inspirational coach I ever had, his name's Chip Morgan. You know, he led by example. And so he just got all of us committed to giving our best. And that ended up, you know, transferring when we actually got into the boat to the same mentality. And then that would end up with a lot of victories because of the discipline, the hard work, the focus that we put into the dry land, right, even before we could get on the water. I think one of the things that kind of a sick moment, I guess you could say, is we had this dry land day where we had to run up to this gate and back, which was a half mile out, half mile back, and then do a bunch of burpees, a bunch of push-ups, a bunch of squats, you know, whatever, sit-ups, everything, and then do it again. And we repeated that 6 or 7 times. And I remember going back to my dorm room and curling up on my bed and kind of crying and laughing at the same time because I was in so much pain. And I was like, I think this is my sport.
And then, yes, and that's amazing, right? And I think that's what's, you know, again, I think that's half the fun of it and to see what you can and can't do.
Yeah, yeah. And I also, I have kind of a funny story because I was probably one of the smallest rowers, you know, out there for sure. And definitely on most every team I was on. So I had to work even harder, I feel, and I had to push myself harder. And so it's kind of, I learned a lot from that experience. And, you know, I kind of was the constant underdog. And I fed off of that. I just kind of, yeah. And I noticed that today as well, you know, with what I'm doing in business and trying to create something and kind of go after a big goal and maybe some big competition, you know, later.
Now, do you think it's an advantage being an underdog?
Yeah, I think it definitely pushes you to be, you know, ultra focused and super persistent.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, I you could say that it's like the it's not my favorite saying from my coach Scott Roop. And I'm going to do his accent because you can't talk like him without doing his accent. He'd be like, "Yeah, guys, you know, you might be a little smaller than the other team, but, you know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. All right." And so he would give us that like that. That stuck with me. That was my motto pretty much every day.
That is awesome. That's a great motto to have. And then you got in. So, but you've been doing all these other fit, you know, you're a fitness trainer, fitness consultant as well. Talk to us a little bit about that. And what was the misery challenge you created?
Okay. So there's a lot of questions. All right, yeah, I'll not talk too long here, but basically what happened was I went from rowing and I didn't make the Olympics, you know, 99, the writing was on the wall. So I kind of, was going to take a year break. Well, that turned into a many year break from rowing at that level. But I went on to do adventure racing, which, you know, I kind of fell into, but loved it. And then I went into, I was in LA. And so I saw spinning and I needed to make some money. So I'm like, geez, I should just teach people how to row. It's a way better workout than spinning. No offense, cycling, it's great. But, you know, rowing 9 major muscle groups, full body, let's get them on some rowing machines. And I'll make sure that it's not boring like it was for me many times. I'm going to make it fun. So I got into the fitness, you know, world that way and created the program Indo Row, and with a fitness guru named Jay Blahnik, who, you know, he brought the fitness side of it and I brought the rowing side of it, and we kind of combined and did that for a long time. But, you know, I basically always tried to bring what I learned from rowing and the coaches that coached me, the lessons I learned from them, into the fitness world. So I didn't see it as kind of just a leading a class. I saw it as really taking the time to lead these people through an experience, but also coach them and treat them like athletes, and push them hard. And I had some 60, 70-year-olds that had never been in better shape. And then I had some kids that I would get in shape, and then I'd have some people like pro cyclists that are looking to cross train. And so it was really fun to work with all of those folks. And then what was the other part of the question?
No, and then you went into Misery Challenge. Talk to us.
Oh, yeah. Misery Challenge, it came because I was training for Ironman and I was doing a lot of open water swimming, which I love to do. And there's an island off of my hometown. I live in a small town, Manchester by the Sea, Mass. By the way, I don't call it by the sea. I call it Manchester, Mass. But then everybody thinks we're in New Hampshire. So there you go. Sounds
pretty. It's all about the movie, right? You want Casey Affleck.
So then they did a damn movie about our town. And I'm like, they're definitely going to change that title. That's the working title. That is not the title. And of course, you know, traffic got held up one day and I ended up being stuck behind Casey Affleck driving down the 128. And I was like, oh, great. All right. And my car made it in the movie. That's my claim to fame.
There you go. Now you're world famous.
Yeah, I know. So Misery Challenge came because there's an island off of our town called Misery Island. No joke. It's like back in the day, some shipwreck happened. And so they called it Misery because the guy was stranded out there for like 3 days. So Misery Island exists. And I looked out at it one day and I said to my dad, hey, that would be kind of a fun swim to see if I can make it out there. So he puttered alongside me in his kayak and made sure I didn't drown. And I got out there. And then the next year I was like, you know what? I want to go out there and back, see if I can make it. And it's a mile and a half out and mile and a half back. So it's a good swim, 3 mile swim, about 80 feet deep in spots. So, you know, you can have some serious mind games going on while you're out there in the depths. And I decided, geez, this would make an amazing race. Let's do something called the Misery Challenge. And you can swim it like I did, or you can stand up paddleboard, row, or kayak around it, which is 4 miles. And that was 5 years ago. And this July 14th is the 5th year anniversary. Where we're going to be doing it. We get about 250 to 300 competitors, and it's some good times with some street tacos and beers afterwards.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Do most people swim or do they paddle? You know, do the paddleboard?
125 to 50 swimmers, and it's really become kind of a swim event, but then we get, you know, 60 paddlers and 40 rowers and 50 kayakers, something like that.
Wow, that sounds cool. Yeah, we'll have to get some exposure for you for that too, to have people check that out.
One fun fact, I looked over one time when I was there kind of surveying the course, and I look over, I see this woman doing butterfly, and I go, what the heck is she doing butterfly? But that is the least restful, you know, stroke you can take if you're tired from doing crawl. And then some guy looks over at me and says, yeah, she's been doing that the whole way. And she butterflied 3 miles open ocean, which is pretty cool.
Wow. Who was she? Do you know?
I forgot her name. I gave her my, she didn't win any awards, but she did win my MVP. She was the Misery Challenger of the Year. And so she did get an award in the end, because that was too awesome.
Right. No, I didn't know if it was like some ex-Olympic swimmer that no one knew about. No. That
just an awesome master swimmer.
Wow. That's cool. Talk about pushing the limit. She probably wanted a good workout. So she's like, that's what I'm going to do the whole way.
Totally.
Now talk to us about your newest venture, what we met about the other day, Body Squad. I think, it's such a big thing with mobility and with stretching and, all that type of stuff. Tell us a little bit about your business, the theory behind it, the importance of that, because I know, we all hate to stretch, right? Everyone thinks stretching's, a waste of time. Everyone thinks that it's, just one more thing that you add on to it. But we all know as we get older, we should probably be doing that more than our workout. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it really did come up because of the way that I was feeling. I'm 45 in June, and I was just starting to feel less and less mobile and more kind of floating injury. And I did the air quotes because they weren't really injuries. They were just areas that got really locked up and tight. And it was happening because of lack of movement or too much movement, right? So we also, being in the fitness industry, I was seeing so many people overworking and training 5-6 days a week hard at CrossFit or SoulCycle, Orange Theory. And you were just saying to yourself, geez, these people are training like athletes, yet they're doing no recovery like I did when I was doing Ironman or, adventure racing or rowing. Our coaches built in recovery. If we didn't do it, we were in trouble, not only by them, but we were in trouble because we would notice it in our performance. So my wife and I are partners in Body Squad, and she was looking at it from a little different perspective, where she was recovering from a serious illness and she was looking for what could help her feel better. And so Body Squad entails three modalities: the myofascial trigger point stretching, which is done one-on-one. So someone who is a licensed massage therapist or athletic trainer training on protocol will release your key tight points, unlock them, and then assist you in stretching so that you can regain that flexibility and mobility. The other component is infrared sauna, and that's a big thing that my wife has been doing for years. It's great for immune system building, for detoxification, for improving circulation, for treating chronic illness, and it's super relaxing. It's great for skin, and you also burn calories sitting in that thing because it's raising your body temperature. And some people get into calorie burn. I'm not that into it, but sitting there for 30 minutes, you're burning 200 calories. A little bonus for some people. The other component is Normatec, and a lot of people know about Normatec compression therapy, but it's basically flushing lactic acid out of the muscles and pumping it to the heart and replenishing, your legs, especially when you do the boots, with the good blood and making your legs feel really light and ready to go. And you're seeing a lot of NBA players use them all the time, triathletes use them all the time. So we thought, how can we bring these type of protocols, these amazing protocols, to everybody and make it efficient and make it effective and take the work out of it for them and take the thinking out of it for them in terms of, what their pain point might be is not necessarily what needs to be treated. And we want to have a cost-effective way for everybody to be treated and get this type of treatment. Instead of waiting until they're all banged up, let's be consistent. Let's reset on the regular, and let's do so at a price point that you can do regularly instead of waiting and saving up and then doing it when it's kind of too late. So that's Body Squad in a nutshell. The other component is that we're the geek squad of the body. So we deploy our team out into the field so that we can service corporate clients and events. And I just made a huge plunge into the business, deeper into the business, when I wrapped my beloved 2003 Volkswagen camper van, and it's now the Body Squad Mobile. So
perfect. There you go. Now you can just take it everywhere: bike races, adventure races, wherever.
Exactly. So that's it. it's a long-winded answer, but that's really what we're doing, and it's we're really passionate about it, and we're just so excited to see the results we're getting in less than a year of being open.
So talk to us about the results, you know, athletes and specifically, you know, more older athletes, masters athletes, executive athletes. What benefit would they get by going to Body Squad or doing something similar?
Well, the myofascial, you know, stretching and trigger point work is game changing. I mean, you come in there with a tight hips from cycling all day or from sitting all day, right? So like, it depends. A lot of people who are executive athletes, they go hard on the bike or on their runs, and then they sit all day, or they travel on a plane all often. So they get really locked up, and there needs to be some manual manipulation. There needs to be some consistent work done in order to stay unlocked. We're just not going to recover like we did when we were 20 or 25. And so I think, you know, what we're noticing are these people moving with greater range of motion, feeling less pain, and their performance goes up. And we've had some serious testimonials that you know, have put huge smiles on my face and the members.
What are the biggest points that you're releasing typically in the body?
You know, the most hidden and kind of unknown pain point is actually, it's not the pain point, it's the release, is the psoas. So deep in the kind of belly. And it often, when you release that, you release a lot of lower back pain and oftentimes even knee pain, because you're pulling the front side of your body, kind of compressing it. So then that's affecting your quad and then how your knee tracks when you run or cycle or whatnot. And then the other big kind of winner is the shoulders and neck, because so many people have what we call tech neck, where they're all hunched over and locked up from being on their devices all day long.
Right.
So yeah. And then, you know, calves are a big one. People don't even know how tight their calves and shins are until we start touching them and they start squealing. Cause what we do isn't always comfortable, but the more uncomfortable it is, the more you brought that upon yourself and you didn't take care of yourself. So take a little pain, we'll help you get through it. And then you'll be feeling like a champ.
Get right back at it. No, I know that's one thing. Again, we all get there and then all of a sudden you feel something pop and you know, you haven't been taking care of that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, for sure.
Talk to us about the infrared, you know, so the infrared sauna. You mentioned a little bit about it, you know, for detox and that type of stuff, but what is that, you know, what's that really do? How's that, what's the benefit of that?
Well, I touched on a little bit of the benefits, and Amy, my partner, is super well versed in this, so I, you know, wish she was here to answer it, but I know from you know, our research and her interaction, some of our members, really what it's doing is it's bringing your body temperature up a couple degrees. So you can imagine it's almost like starting a mini fever, and that kills off a lot of virus and bacteria. So that, you know, in kind of a safe way, of course, but you end up also through all the sweat pushing out a lot of the toxins through the pores. And one thing I think is kind of neat is that people with like joint pain or flexibility issues, they find that the heat, because it's penetrating the body and warming from the inside out, is really effective. It's much different than just sitting in a sauna where the air around you is hot. And that's just very much unbearable. I can't deal with regular saunas, but we sit in these easily for 30 minutes and sometimes longer. And people just also feel like they're on a beach in Miami in the dead of winter. So that's extremely relaxing and kind of resets them mentally.
Wow. No, I've all, you know, even the air ones were always good, because you do feel so much cleaner when you're done. I was a big fan of, you know, Bikram yoga as well because of that, right? It's, you know, you feel, you you never come out in a bad mood and you feel like 30 pounds lighter, even though, you know, you sweated everything out, but it gets rid of, you feel like you're just getting rid of all the crap that's inside your body.
Yeah. And I think what's nice about what we're trying to do with, you know, we have the modalities, but it's also an experience when you walk into Body Squad in our studios. We design them so that you feel like you're escaping, but not in a way that it's like some blissed out, massage place, right? It's more about feeling calm but invigorated at the same time. And it's similar to being like in an athletic training room at the same time, but with the feel of more of a studio, of a yoga studio, and where you feel calm and invigorated. And, you know, we have good music playing and videos on the wall, and there's a really positive energy flowing throughout the studio. And when you leave, you do feel, you know, very relaxed, but ready.
Right, right. And what, you know, and you mentioned, you know, we're talking a bit about combining your athletic attitude, right? Your athletic drive with business. How do you think that has turned into your success in business as well?
Well, I really, it's a blessing and a curse, but the perseverance or persistence is definitely, I think, has gotten me through a lot of times when other people, I think, would just kind of tap out. And you can't, you got to keep going, especially if you truly believe in what you're doing and you trust that eventually it's going to bring you the results that you believe. And so that is one aspect. And then truly loving what you do helps make those times even easier. But I think the other thing that I kind of have learned from my athletic background, especially rowing at Brown University, it's the teamwork and really not only trying to bring everybody together as one crew with one common goal, but also finding the right place for everybody in the boat. So you can have the right 9 people on that boat, but you sometimes need to reorganize their lineup. And it's not until you get that lineup dialed that then you really have your true boat speed. And so I'm constantly doing that with business. And people who work with us, it's a startup. And they have to be ready to throw on a different hat on a different day. And sometimes that is how you find people's strengths. And then you capitalize on that. And as you grow, you put them in the place that they need to be that's best for the team.
So that's awesome. Putting everyone in the right spot in order so the boat can go as fast as possible. It's,
yeah,
you know, that's a metaphor for life, right? It's, you know, not everyone's going to be, you know, the quarterback, or not everyone's going to be this or that, but being the best person you can be in the position you're in.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to move people out of the boat because you already have the seat filled with the need. And it's unfortunate because their skill strength is strong, but it's not needed in a way because you already have that seat full.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So you're running your own company. You're sort of a, you know, fitness guru. What do you do for your, you know, your own workouts? How do you get that into your day?
I've eased up on myself a little bit, and I don't
Good for
see
you.
That as getting soft. I see it as more just getting a little smarter.
Right.
And
wiser.
Yeah, I've kicked my body's butt a long time. So now I got to be really smart and aware of what's going on with it. So one of the things I do is I work out and train, or I don't even call it train. I move with the season, right? So I love to do whatever the season's bringing me. In the winter, skiing. This winter, I took up telemarking, which was like a crazy awesome adventure for me because I'd never done it. And I bought a pair of used skis, went to the top of the mountain and said, all right, here we go. And loved it. And then in the summer, I love open water swimming. So I'm going to be training for a race in August that's I'm going to butcher the name, Otillo. It's a Swedish.
Oh, yeah. The Otillo run swim race.
So run up in Casco Bay, and that's going to be really fun. But in general, I like to my number one favorite thing ever is surfing. And so I'm constantly, whenever there's a storm, that takes priority. I'm heading out, and we surf all winter long, and that's kind of a rush and a way of pushing myself in a different way. And I love that. And the last thing I do consistently, and I've started recently, is Wim Hof Method, which is, look him up, Wim Hof Method, if you don't know him, but it's a lot of breathing work and cold exposure, or cold immersion, and a little bit of meditation. The word meditation always freaked me out, but when you do it this way, it's all amazing. And I think that's really actually helped my lung capacity and allowed me to stay fit. And then the last thing I like took on last year was Spartan Race. I did one on a whim and loved it. So I want to train for one of those again.
Nice. Oh, awesome. 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 So we're coming up over a half an hour already. It's amazing. We could go for hours and hours, but where can people find you? Where can they find out more about Josh Crosby?
Yeah. The biggest place is be Go Body Squad, GoBodySquad.com. And those are our two studios that we have right now in Boston area on Newbury Street and in Ink Block. That's where I am most of the time these days as we get this thing going. And you might even see me driving around the van if I cut you off. That wasn't me, it was someone else. And then JoshCrosbyFitness.com is more of my personal website. But love to have anyone come into the studio or come do Misery Challenge with us this summer.
That sounds amazing, Josh. And thank you very much for being part of this. This was absolutely amazing. And I think what you're doing is super cool and probably, you know, game changing for everyone that is part of it. I know I need to come in and check it out.
Oh, I'll get you in there.
Perfect. So thanks, Josh. And if anyone has any questions, comments, feedback, concerns, email me at KenAtheExecutiveAthletes.com and we'll get you in contact with Josh. So thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Bye.